I believe he's in the United States Capitol, Washington, D.C. Good morning, Congressman Tim Walberg.
Morning, Steve. We're here, and hearing that weather forecast makes me long for getting home later on today, because it's been a real feel temperature here all week. It's been over 100 degrees, and yesterday it was 100 degrees, and real feel was 107. So,
oh, wow.
I'm ready to get back. This is humid here, even inside. So pure Michigan is calling me.
But no doubt you're in D.C. because that's the job you were elected to do. And so what are you guys working on, today before you leave to head back to Michigan?
Well, we'll be looking today at some appropriations bills in a package of bills, minibuses that have been going through. Minibuses mean roll a few of the appropriations bills together that they think they can have a better opportunity of passing without not a huge amount of controversy, though. That hasn't been the case this year. It's basically being passed by Democrats themselves because they have refused to stick with what was agreed to last year while they were still in the majority, and they still are now. But they agreed last year to some caps on spending that they've blown way past already in every bill. Plus, they've added things that took away, agreed upon, and supported by the president and signed by the president in past years relative to human life, human rights, abortion issues, all of the above that, again, are done now for messaging purposes because they know that ultimately the Senate will not approve and the president would not sign. So, again, it's a lot of stuff aiming toward having votes that can be used in campaigns either for or against members of Congress. So it is a bit frustrating when we have all sorts of other things we ought to be doing right now, pulling us together in a time of pandemic and working towards solutions that our states, our local communities need, our employers, our health care providers, and really equally important, if not more so, our educators, our schools that need to reopen with some sense of certainty of what they will be able to use to do that in a safe way and get kids back in the classroom where they truly need to be and stop the draining of their academic health, but also social, mental health also. And we're already seeing some negatives that have developed by the shutdown back in March and kids getting out of what was normal for them, losing their peer support group, the enjoyment opportunities that come with school, athletic issues, and mental health issues. So we ought to be doing more to draw together on that, and hopefully next week we will see some, since the Senate has made the first step in moving forward a plan that offers $1 trillion of spending. And I'm not so sure I can support it the way they've put it together, but at least it'll give us a chance to negotiate toward meeting the needs and the priorities that are out there.
Yeah, we just talked with State Rep. Julie Alexander here about the Michigan legislature's plan that the House will send to the Senate soon, and so we may see action on that in a couple of weeks. How long do you think we before we know what to expect from the federal, the Department of Education?
Well, I think it's being ramped up. CDC has been very open conversation with Dr. Redfield, head of the CDC, yesterday. He pointed out the fact that it is a necessity we open our schools, knowing that some of it's going to have to be done online for students that have health risk problems, pre-existing conditions, et cetera, as well as faculty that may have some age issues as well as health issues. So we have to be realistic and have alternatives in place. But for the overwhelming majority of students, they can go back to school safely with the necessary concerns met of distancing issues, of hygiene issues, of sanitizing issues, protective restraints, or I guess you should say barriers, in a school bus, in the classrooms, lunch halls, working with pods of students as opposed to an entire classroom, alternate schedules, those type of things. still can get students back because, as CDC has found out, and the American Academy of Pediatricians, all of the above are saying it is of dire importance that we get kids back to school and we can do it safely. Let's do it safely because, I mean, even in Michigan, Steve, we've heard from the state legislature that the suicide hotline calls have increased by 1,100%. We've seen suicides take place in young people. One in my district that I know of last week, 19 years of age, committed suicide out of frustration, depression, of having the whole life altered. We have, again, an increase in opioid heroin abuse as well as general addictions beginning to increase in numbers again when we had started to see that decline, having taken real action. And Jackson was leading the way in many things with what was taking place there. All of this has produced a reason in people's minds to deal with it, the concerns by going back to substance abuse. We don't want that. And then yesterday, Steve, in a committee hearing, subcommittee hearing I sat in Education and Workforce, or Education and Labor Committee, one of my colleagues from Pennsylvania brought up something I hadn't thought about, but is absolutely necessary. And Jackson, again, is leading the way in the state in areas of CTE, career and technical education. You can't do that, generally speaking, for a great portion of the academic and educational opportunity when you are training young people on specific trades issues, professional trades, a career and technical education. That's on hands, online. When you're training an electrician, a student to be an electrician in the future, now you need to have them working in concert with an instructor that is mentoring them through the process. But now with COVID, they also have to understand what it's going to look like in the works on the work site, dealing with COVID, your fellow employees that are there, doing the work that's necessary. And what have we done? We've cloistered them away, taken them out not only of the training, but also on how to be involved in the work site when they get there. So these are considerations that come by and large from taking the risk, mitigating the risk, putting in place plans that will help our students, our families, etc. And we also know that that there are businesses out there that are crying for employees to come back. We frustrated that with a huge increase in unemployment coverage that has, in many cases, caused employees to say, no, I'm not coming back because I'm making more on unemployment than not. That's just wrong. I understand why they do it, but that was done with an incentive from the federal government, and it's causing real concerns. But then we also see that without people being able to go back to work because childcare isn't there, much of which is schools, we're looking at increased costs to the economy to the tune of about $50 billion per month if we don't open the schools again. And over the course of 10 years across the world, it ends up to be about $10 trillion of economic loss. So a lot of stuff that we ought to be considering, but we're, in many cases here, wasting time on messaging bills for partisan reasons, and that's sad.
Well, you mentioned the unemployment, and that's set to expire here soon, and apparently the Senate's got a bill that we thought we would see yesterday, but it looks like maybe it's going to be next week instead. What do you know of that plan that seems to have approval at least from the Senate, and what do you think might be changed, or will it just get support from the House?
Well, it won't get support totally from the House.
Uh-huh.
I'm certain of that. The President and the Senate are leaning in the direction of doing away with the $600 additional
right.
federal supplement unemployment and going towards a incentive for taking the job. That would be a relatively short period of time, and it would be far less than the $600, but you would end up making at least equal, and in most cases a bit more, than you would stay in on unemployment. And you'd be, in fact, making more than you were making on your job when you left it in March. And I'm willing to look at that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather we just simply grow the economy again and have people go back to their jobs that are being offered to them. And we know in Michigan there has been expanded opportunities as well in manufacturing since the auto industry has got back in place and suppliers need to increase their work base. So if we're looking at something that at the very worst gives a limited incentive to take a job and go back to work, I'm willing to consider that. But we need to look at how we target right now. We've spent trillions of dollars. We also have $500 billion or better that hasn't been used yet in the states for all sorts of things, including PPE, that are still out there. We've appropriated those dollars. We don't have to go back and appropriate them. They're there. Mm-hmm. So why don't we target those toward needs in the healthcare field, in education, and employment, and then look at what else we might have to add on top of it? Because remember, all the money we put there so far, we've had to print, and that is added to our deficit and to our debt. That's not a good thing either. So let's try to limit that as much as possible. I know it's a pandemic. It's real. It's been tragic. And we have to show our concern and deal with it the best way possible. But let's not go overboard, and especially looking at states who have abused their spending capabilities, and thinking of California and Illinois, two very close and personal settings in New York, but also Michigan. And the governor and the legislature have to come together to say, you know, we've caused some of this concern, and we shouldn't expect taxpayers from other states to bail us out of our deficit spending. And we have to draw in our own purse strings and do what's necessary before we just simply say the government in the federal level will take care of it.
All right, Tim, any last thoughts or anything before we wrap it up?
Well, we are still America. We've come through plenty of problems in the past, including a couple world wars and additional wars that we called conflicts that were wars. We've made it through. We started out something that the world never knew in our revolution toward a Republican form of democracy, constitutional democracy. We've achieved so much in a short period of time compared to the rest of the nations. And we have been the mark of what is excellent, and we will still do that if we don't lose heart. And I would say to all the parents, all employees, thanks for what you do. All the teachers, the healthcare providers, thank you for your commitment. The workers in the stores who have stood on the front line, clerks, etc., thank you. Sanitation workers, thank you. But the rest of us need to step up to the plate. And we need to show a courage that comes with being an American. Do things smart, but nothing that's free is totally safe. And it's time, it is time, to move back toward normalcy in the United States, recognizing the pandemic, recognizing the virus, but saying, doggone it, it is not going to get us down. It is not going to keep us shut down. We're going to move forward. So thank you for giving me last words about that. But I'm willing to step up at almost 70 years of age. I know there are risks out there, but the biggest risk right now is coming from not being American in our normal way.
All right, Congressman Tim Walberg, and have a safe trip back to Michigan, and look forward to some of that beautiful weather this weekend.
We look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Congressman Tim Walberg on WKHM.